Attention passengers, this is your captain speaking. Brace for impact. This is Tom Lewis. In my book, Brace for Impact, I gave you the big picture about the beginning of the crash of the industrial age. Here, on The Daily Impact, we chronicle the downward spiral. So this is the last of Give Me Liberty or Give Me Debt, a series of essays prompted by recent revelations about how the issue of debt was handled in ancient Mesopotamia. According to Michael Hudson's new book, Forgive Us Our Debts, the efforts of the rising moneyed classes in the ancient world to stamp out the long-standing tradition of periodic debt amnesties was awe-inspiring in its tenacity. For example, the historical record has convinced Hudson that Jesus Christ's core mission was to restore clean slate amnesties or jubilee. In his very first sermon at the age of 15, Jesus said, "The Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the meek, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to set the spiritual prisoners free, to proclaim the year of God's favor and the day of our God's reckoning." All of which can be interpreted figuratively to say God wants everybody to be happy, or literally, God wants all debts canceled. Jesus taught his followers to pray, "Forgive us our debts." Only centuries later was the translation of the Lord's Prayer changed to the more opaque, "Forgive us our trespasses." Coincidence? Not hardly, says Hudson. Forgiving debts was anathema to the Pharisees and to the newly ascendant moneyed class snuggled into the Roman Empire. And as Jesus' message gained traction, so did their desire to see him dead. Jesus did not die for our sins, says Hudson. He died for our debts. To understand the crucifixion of Jesus is to understand it was his punishment for his economic views, says Hudson. He was a threat to the creditors. The Old Testament gave big money some headaches, too. For example, the commandment against coveting your neighbor's wife, Hudson says, can be shown to have been not about forbidding adultery, but about forbidding the common practice of lending money for the purpose of foreclosing on the borrower's wife. There are many other references and stories in the Bible, says Hudson, that have been edited, truncated, retranslated, or otherwise redirected, so that they no longer point toward debt forgiveness by the upper classes, but toward obedience of the lower classes, leading to spiritual, not economic, well-being. The moneylenders won, but not every battle, not in every era. The Greek Orthodox Church held on to regular debt cancellations for a few centuries. The Catholic Church in medieval Europe refused the sacraments and Christian burial to anyone who charged any interest on any loan. But such setbacks for the wealthy were few and relatively brief. But the moneylenders won in the long run, and it is firmly established in the communal mind of Western civilization that debts and the rights of creditors are sacred and eternal, as is the obligation of debtors to repay every penny borrowed with interest. The larger obligations of the creditors to the civilization that nurtures them well, those have been expunged from our consciousness. But not from the record, as Dr. Hudson has found and reported. If you want to be like Jesus, he says, then you become political and you realize that this is the same fight that has been going on for thousands of years across civilization, the attempt of society to cope with the fact that debts grow faster than the ability to pay. Michael Hudson's work presents us with a stunning, mind-altering lesson about ancient history and about the capacity of human government for compassion, or if you prefer, enlightened self-interest. In writing about his work to the extent I've been able to comprehend it, I am not advocating anything, and I don't think he is either, other than a necessary re-examination of possibilities. Let me repeat what I said at the end of part one of this series. A new discovery about the history of Western civilization tells us that there is a road not recently traveled here, one that successfully dealt with the intractable problems of debt for many thousands of years. There's no way it can save us from the crash already in process, but it certainly is worth knowing about it when we start over. In the meantime, brace for impact. To keep up with the ways our industrial world is falling apart, subscribe to the Daily Impact. To better understand them, the second edition paperback edition of Brace for Impact is now available at Amazon.com. For now, this is Tom Lewis saying, brace for impact.